Just a minute, because we're going to pray first, okay? Father, thank you for the privilege of praying for these three little ones, Lord, and their family. It is a privilege, Lord, to bring them to you. And Lord, it's a privilege to hear your word. And I ask that you just let it burn within us today. Soften our spirits, Lord, our hearts, to receive it. We bind the enemy from robbing it. It's not going to take our seed. Lord, use me as your vessel today. Pour out. Pour into every person here. And I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I was just telling Karen, the older I get, the easier I cry. And with these little babies, I'll just... Well, I want to ask you this morning, how many of you took on the role of a king this past week? Come on. How many took on the role of a king during this past week? I'm not getting much response. I may also ask you, if you did take on the role of a king, do you still feel like a king this morning? If you don't have any clue what I'm talking about, you need to listen to last week's message. That will enlighten you. I do want to say that, brothers and sisters, there is a king in you. There's a king in you. Grab hold of that. There is a king in you. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to read verse 11, 12, and 13. Many of you know this by heart. Are you there, folks? Amen. Amen. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amen. Verse 11 in the New Living Translation says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I remember this verse growing up in Sunday school. It's one of those verses they tried to get me to memorize. And I think I did. But I've called on this verse a number of times through the years of Christian growth. There's much encouragement in that verse. Much encouragement. It's one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. It's a beautiful passage. So if you've been a Christian for some years, then you've probably read this verse, memorized it maybe, but I know you've dealt with it many times. It's how God thinks about us. He assures us of good and not evil. He has plans for a hopeful future for our lives. God does have exceptional plans for each one of us, and the message of this verse certainly indicates that. Amen. But sadly, folks, this verse is often taken out of context. I hope that today we will obtain some spiritual insight into the story behind this verse, because we don't want to be guilty of using Scripture out of context, right? Amen. There's a story, typically there's a story behind every passage of Scripture. Let's read that verse that's right before the text that we just read, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So now that you've read verse 10, does it change how you feel about verse 11? Many of us, it will. It will. Because now we realize that the Israelites were being told that they must wait 70 years before this promise, before God would perform this promise. Wow. So this promise then is dependent upon God's timetable and not ours. Right? So we read this great promise in Jeremiah 29:11, one of the greatest promises in the Bible. And then we read some negative news in Jeremiah 29:10. And we can say, oh no, we got to wait. We got to wait. They waited 70 years before all the good stuff happened. I don't want to wait another 70 years, folks. I put in the first 70 and that's enough, huh? This may be why people don't quote verse 10 along with verse 11. But let's be real today. God often gives promises predicated upon conditions. We can't earn things from God. We can't obtain our own salvation. God does ask us to put our works and faith together, doesn't he? So he likes us to do something. He likes us to be active in our faith. Now, I don't want anyone leaving here today disheartened in any way. So I just want us to look at this incredible promise and realize this is no pie in the sky pipe dream. This is a promise from God for your life. Amen? It's true. And you can take it to the gospel bank. You can deposit that thing. But it is a promise that isn't always fulfilled immediately. Oftentimes it's fulfilled later. And listen to me good here. It says, and later is usually later than we want. It's a natural inclination to want things now. Right? And I think many of us believe this promise is intended to happen right now. God gives us a future. That's right now, huh? Gives us a hope. That sounds right now. We want God to reveal our future today. If not today, then soon or very soon. We want to know what God's doing. But that's not the entire purpose of this verse. So let's explore the purpose by uncovering the story behind this verse. Three things. The purpose of this verse is to give us something to cling to in the midst of suffering. Something to cling to in the midst of suffering. Another purpose is to give us hope despite an uncertain future. And the third purpose of this verse is to give us strength even when everything and everyone else declares the opposite of what God says. Strength. As we go through the story, I want you to be reminded that regardless of your present situation, God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about you. God will never leave you in a situation without hope. There's hope. There's hope today. He's still our God. We are still His people. And He still has His plans for you. Amen. Now, let's look a little deeper into our story. Jeremiah was a prophet of God that God had sent to Israel during a time where there were other prophets, but they were all false prophets. So for a period of about 23 years, Jeremiah had been bringing the word of the Lord to the people of Israel. For the most part, Jeremiah's message was ignored. God's people refused to listen to him, which meant they were not obeying the word of God. And they were living in sin, they were worshiping idols, and following after false prophets. So God was trying to warn his people through the ministry of Jeremiah. And then finally he said, if you do not listen to Jeremiah, I will send Babylon down to destroy you and take you captive. Now the people refused to believe or accept this message from Jeremiah, in part because they did not want to believe it, and in part because the other prophets preached a far more appealing message than Jeremiah, right? So I want to stop right here to tell you that belief is a choice. Belief is a choice. You can choose to take God at His word, live like a king, amen? Or we can choose to ignore God and His word and suffer the consequences. Amen. It is one or the other. There's no in between. Judah and Israel both chose to ignore God by ignoring the man of God. But it was their choice. Their choice, however, did not change the truth. Their choice did not change the truth. What God said would happen, happened. Amen? Babylon came and destroyed Israel and took the people captive, and this captivity lasted 70 years. There are many people in the world today that ignore the truth of God's word, choose not to believe that God will one day return and deal with the work of disobedience. He will deal with it. But what they believe, doesn't make it happen. Amen. What you choose to believe doesn't change the truth. Amen. In the end, God's word, folks, will stand. It will stand. You know, I've mentioned this several times, but I know people, you know them too, that take a little bit of God's word and then take a little bit of advice from somebody else, and a family member says this, and pretty soon, if they're not based in a good church, they've got a gospel up here that doesn't even look like this book. Right? This is what we have to believe. This is what we have to trust. Right? So I hope all of you have that mindset, that you believe the word of God and you let that be your rule in your life. For 2.5 decades, Jeremiah preached truth without any results. The people just ignored his words. And after giving Israel every opportunity to repent, God allowed Babylon to overtake them and place them under captivity. So it was after they had lost their freedom that Israel began to wake up and listen to the voice of Jeremiah. After they lost their freedom. Now, their lives were in shambles. They were ready to hear the message. Now that they were servants in another land, they were ready to obey. Amen. Now that their children had been uprooted, and they were now prepared to respond to Jeremiah. Wow. Shortly after all this upheaval, there came another prophet by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah was also a false prophet, but the people didn't know it. They didn't realize it at the time. Now, listen, this is how fickle people are. Jeremiah's message was, you are facing 70 years of captivity because of your disobedience. But then while in captivity, here comes Hananiah. His message was, the Lord has spoken to me, and within 2 years, God is going to restore everything Babylon has taken, and Babylon will release all its captives. Guess what the people believed? Hananiah. Because his message was what the people wanted to hear. It was what they were looking for. Sounded a lot better, didn't it? 2 years compared to 70 years? 2 years sounds a lot better to me. So the people moved from ignoring Jeremiah to believing Jeremiah, then vacillating back to ignoring Jeremiah. Wow. Finally, Jeremiah confronts this false prophet, Hananiah, and listen to what he had to say in verse 15, 16, and 17. It said, then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but the people believe your lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You must die. Your life will end this very year because you have rebelled against the Lord. 2 months later, the prophet Hananiah died. Obviously, we must be cautious about what and whom we choose to believe, right? The truth of God's word isn't always what we want to hear, though. It's often easy to find a message that appears good to you, that sounds more practical and more acceptable to you, but that doesn't mean it's true to you. The truth can hurt, so we have a tendency to avoid the truth. Beware, brothers and sisters, those messages that sound so good to you. Beware. They will often come at the very moment you want to hear them. Amen. In other words, when you find yourself in the middle of your darkest hour and the message declares, your nightmare is coming to an end. It's a relief to hear that, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever fought a temptation, but then the message in your head assures you that it's okay to indulge just a little? Just a little? There's nothing wrong with that. Just a little. Temporary. How quickly do we believe that lie? Man, we suck it in. We love it. Don't you think that Satan knows how to send false prophets your way? Sure he does. Without question, Satan knows how to give you a word that you want to hear. Amen. He's the master of that manipulation. And it started way back in Adam and Eve's day. He manipulated her, didn't he? Give her a word she wanted to hear. She was going to be like God. This is exactly the situation during the captivity of Israel. There were two conflicting messages. There were true prophets and there were false prophets. It's no different today. Do you realize there's a false message and there's a true message? Amen. Last week we were encouraged to recognize that we have a king inside of us. We have the potential to fulfill our earthly positions to rule and reign. We can do that. God has put that in us. That's the truth of God's word for his people. That's the truth, folks. But was there anyone this week that heard a different message? I know there was. I know there was. Message trying to convince you that you're no king at all. They might have told you you're nothing more than a dust bunny. Nothing. Now let's go back and look at the state of God's children in this time of Jeremiah. Israel is in the early stages of their oppression. They're living as servants in a foreign land. They've been separated from their children. Some are without any family. The temple and the way they worship, it's all gone. It's all gone. They just want this terrible nightmare to end. Just let this nightmare be over. They want to go home. So they finally determine to obey God. Jeremiah takes this opportunity to write a letter of instruction for all the captives in Babylon. The letter starts in verse 4 of chapter 29. Goes through verse 7. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." God said, right in the middle of your oppressed state, right smack in the middle of it, "I want you to live your life to carry on as if you were still living in Jerusalem. I want you to build homes. I want you to get married. I want you to have kids. I want you to plant crops. I want you to eat well. I want you to seek peace. And don't forget to pray for the city in which you presently live. If you follow my instructions, you will have peace regardless of the storm." Regardless. Amen. Israel, since you're going to spend the next 70 years in this land, you might as well do everything you can to obey God and thus live well. Live well. God wasn't planning to deliver them instantly, not even quickly. He was saying, "So children, get accustomed to your surroundings. Get accustomed to them. Obey me and I'll give you peace." Wow. They're prisoners. They're captives. But God said, make the most of this. Make the most of the situation. Amen. It's going to be a long time. From the book of Jerry, he says, quit your belly aching. Keep following God. None of us knows how long the current situations we are in will last, but we need to keep seeking the truth. Keep seeking God. Keep going after our Lord. He has a plan for your deliverance. He has a plan for your deliverance. God will cause you to prosper. Listen to me, folks. God will cause you to prosper even in the land of your enemy. Wow. Let's keep reading. Let's go to verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Years ago, I read this verse, and it says, your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. How many of you know that you cause the dreams that you dream? I started saying bad pizza makes you dream. And it does. Bad dream. Amen. Now, I'll give you Pastor Jerry's translation of these two verses. Listen, Israel. There's going to come some false prophets that will come to you sharing their dreams with you. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them, even if they tell you exactly what you want to hear. Exactly. I have not sent them, God says. I have not sent them. We know the truth, folks, and the truth will set you free. The truth of God's word will be the source of your peace, the source of your deliverance. We must take a stand for God's word. It's not just this generation that needs to hear the truth of God's word. It's the next generation. We've got to keep the truth of God's word real. For all them babies. Verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Yes, the truth is, you may have to struggle for a while. You may have to struggle for a while. But then, I will perform my word. I will perform my word. Do you see the context in which we can now read and understand the wonderful scripture I began with, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God does have a future plan for you. He does have a future plan for you. He wants to give you hope for that future. Amen. It's always in His heart for you to be functioning as a representative of His kingdom, which means you operate as a king and priest. King and priest. But there may be some seasons of poverty before you reach prosperity. There may be some seasons of seeming hopelessness before you reach your hopeful future. There is reality for every one of God's promises. Sometimes we must wait for our answer. But as we wait, peace can be ours. Peace can be ours. God's blessings can still be ours because deliverance is on the way and His promises are true. Now, folks, I believe we had a very uplifting and invigorating message last week. It wore me out. I went home and laid before the Lord about 2 hours longer than I normally do. Wore me out. And I hope all of you left here feeling like a king. Amen. Amen. But unfortunately, some of you may have encountered the thief shortly thereafter. You know the fellow, the one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He does that well. One moment you're feeling like a king, and the next moment you feel like that kid. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Don't think that nothing good is going to happen to you or that you are destined to be some sort of loser. Don't allow the enemy to rob the truth of God's word from you. Amen. You are a king. Deliverance is coming to each one of us. It may not be the same time. It may not be under the same circumstances, but deliverance is coming to each one of you. Peace is on the horizon. It's going to flood your soul. Amen. It's going to flood your soul, folks. The truth is, you are a king. You're a member of God's royal family. Amen? Start living like it. Keep your focus on. It's the easiest time to live like a king when you first get up in the morning, isn't it? Before you really think of anything. But what Jeremiah tried to tell the Israelites, act normal, follow God, pursue the Lord. I don't care what you're going through. You can be blessed in the midst of that mess if you trust the Lord. If you just trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, those that are married don't get married again. But you need to act normal. You need to pursue what you need to pursue. And you need to do it with a joyful heart. You're a king. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. Right? The devil will tell you you are the tail. But you are not. You are the king. The word of God is true. The false prophets bring you other words that are not true. They're easily believable because you can see the situation. But we don't live by sight, do we? We live by faith in every word of God. Every word of God. Hallelujah. I want you, because you're a king, you can take authority over the lies that come your way. You don't have to live with them, folks. you're going to get bad reports. Sister Pat got a bad report, lymphoma. Larry did. Cheryl did. Don't have to accept it. Prayer is going to change it. And all the time that looks like the enemy is cursing us, we can live normally, folks. We can live like that king he's called us to be. Doesn't matter the circumstances. What matters is the truth of God's word. We need to seek God. So don't ever, ever, ever give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. Amen? Keep seeking God. Keep receiving peace in your life. Keep believing His Word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, I used this last week. It says, "And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to bring Him glory and dominion forever and ever." You have been made a king and a priest, or a queen and a priestess, if you're that type of lady. God has plans for you. I have seen so many people get sucked down to the pits of hell because something bad's happened to them. Are you with me? Can't get up high enough to tie their shoes. And the truth is, you're a king. We've got to take on this mindset. It's okay. The mess I'm in's okay. Because God's bringing deliverance. Amen? It's not going to kill me. I'm not going to die until He says I'm going to die. See, Jesus took away the keys to what? Death, hell, and the grave. Death is not coming until Jesus says it's coming. Because I've finished what I'm supposed to do here, and I'm going home. But the devil lost that weapon. Hallelujah. He lost it. So what's he going to do? He's going to make you miserable. He has made us kings and priests to God the Father. I love worship. I love worship. That's besides my devotion, that's about all I can give God. Right? I mean, really. Praise. I love to do that. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, I don't know if I've done a good job or not. But what I'm trying to tell you is, no matter what comes, don't believe the false prophet. Believe the word and live like God's asked you to do. How He created you to do. When you said yes to Him, there's a whole new world came into existence. You don't have to be sucked under to realize it. Listen to the right voice. Listen to the right words. And don't give up. Let life go on as normal. How many of you say, somebody said, how you doing? Oh. Some form of that. Yeah. Next time somebody says, how you doing? You say, I am a king. And I'm ruling and reigning right now. And that devil is not going to get his way with me. Come on. Isn't that right? Isn't that a better thought than, oh. There's a song years ago, you all heard it, but it was on Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And it became very popular because we could all relate to it, but it's not truth. It's not truth. It's a false prophet. Old Roy, what was his name? Clark. He was a false prophet with that song. Folks, you getting this picture? Israel was as bad off as they could be. God told them, live like normal. Make the very best of this situation. Start doing whatever you would do in your homeland in Jerusalem. Do it, do it, do it. And I'll give you peace in the enemy's camp. And after time, I don't believe it's 70 years for us, but it's God's time. After time, you're going to see a great deliverance. A great deliverance. And then you'll really act like a king. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.